So designing for autism, so I would make sure that the bed is low and anchored. I would make sure there is no direct harsh lighting overhead. I would make sure there's dimmers everywhere, which I use all the time. I have dimmers everywhere. I have dimmers in closets, in bathrooms, you name it, I have dimmers. Because I think also that's great for someone with autism, because maybe they need a light at night, but a night light isn't sufficient for them. Mm-hmm. So they need to have another light. So you put the light on the closet very low.
Welcome to the Mother's Guide Through Autism podcast. This podcast is to inspire, support, and build community for mothers raising children with autism. I'm Bridget Shipman, the host and creator of the Mother's Guide Through Autism. This podcast has been inspired by my son, Joseph, who has been living with autism for the past 30 years. My book, Mother's Guide Through Autism, co-authored with my son, Joseph, is now available for purchase on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Order your copy today and please leave a review to help spread the word. See you there. Welcome back to Mother's Guide Through Autism podcast. I am Bridget Shipman and I'm your host. And today I'm going to be speaking with Deborah DeMare. She's a renowned interior design consultant, author, educator, and pioneer of the ethical wellness design movement. She has been executing beautiful living and sensory environments that contribute to the mental and physical health and well-being of people and the protection of animals and the planet for nearly 20 years. Her company, DeMare Design, is the only 100% cruelty-free design consulting firm specializing in the creation of organic, optimal spaces and sourcing vegan textiles and sustainable furniture that bears zero to low toxins. In addition, Deborah is a sensory and health-driven design expert. She is a leading authority in designing environments that promote optimal mental and physical health for the special needs population, including autism, ADHD, sensory difficulties, and all related differences. So if you're interested in getting your home to be less toxic and also involving some of the interesting things that Deborah teaches us, you're going to love this episode. So I'm pretty excited about having Deborah DeMare on our show today, because she's going to be talking about things I believe not just our community, but I think anyone can really benefit from. And I'm really, as you all know, that have been following me, I'm very excited about learning new things. So I think I'm going to learn a lot today, and I think you will too. So welcome to Mother's Guide Through Autism, Deborah.
Thank you so much.
So we're going to dive in, and I would love to know how you got to do what you do. How did this come up in your life? How did you find this work that you do?
I have been designing now over 20 years, and my business was self-taught. I became a designer when my children, who are twins, I have twin girls, they're 29, went off to school. I said I wanted to work part-time.
So you have twin daughters. Wow.
Yes, I have twin daughters. And when my twins started kindergarten, I was a full-time mom until then. And I said, okay, I want to work part-time. And so I decorated a friend's home as a favor. And that turned into a full-time job. And that was many years ago. So I've been very lucky. And I knew absolutely nothing, which I think in a way my ignorance was a blessing, because I focus my design, I think, is a little bit different than someone who has that typical training. Mm-hmm. I would always think first as a mother, practicality, budget, and then I would think about the psychology of design, you know, because to me, that's really what it's all about. Sensory, psychology, slow design, which is a term that now you're seeing a lot of, which really is kind of what I've been doing all along. It's about creating spaces that work for you. So We're all unique. We all have our own thumbprint. So therefore, there's no space. What works for you, Bridget, might not work for me. So my business started a very long time ago. And in about 9 or 10 years ago, I became completely vegan in my company, which led to me becoming non-toxic in my company, or as few chemicals as possible. There's really nothing that's 100% non-toxic. And that happened really because we are very into animals in our family. We have lots of pets. And I'm very involved with many different organizations such as PETA and Farm Sanctuary and a plethora, Catskill Sanctuary, Woodstock Sanctuary, many of them. And here I was, you know, advocating for animals, but yet I was using leather and fur and wool and down and silk and all these horrible things. And I was a hypocrite, you know, and I say you always have to be ready for change. And I was ready for change when I finally opened a video that had passed through my feed a million times, and it was on dog leather. And that really for me was it. I opened that video and I said, I can't do this. And so that's when I transitioned to becoming completely vegan in my business. And that quickly spiraled into learning that animal-based materials are not only horrific for the animals and the workers and the child laborers and the environment and the forests and the water and everything in the world, but they contain tons of chemicals. Leather has over 250 chemicals, arsenic, lead, chromium, down, wool loaded with pesticides. So that's really how my path has led me to where I am today. And without me realizing it, I've become an expert, which makes me laugh because I had no idea that I was going to become an expert. But I think it found me and I found it, and we kind of found each other.
Yeah, I love how that works, because I too, you know, it's just, you follow your passion, and it's so really, I think it's pretty easy to become an expert in what you're passionate about, right?
Absolutely. Right. Because it's not work.
Exactly. And it's, that's why I love what I do too. I'm curious though, because I'm learning from you. Would you tell us what non-toxic, cruelty-free design for optimal health and well-being looks like in our homes? Because, wow, that was a mouthful. But what is that like? What does that look like in our homes?
Well, first, just to define a couple of things. People think that, for example, cruelty-free is very common when you see in cosmetics. Cruelty-free means you're not testing on animals. That is also a terrible industry, the testing of animals. And it has been proven that it's not accurate. They have robots now that mimic humans and has much more accuracy, but it's more expensive. So labs don't want to pay for it. But testing on monkeys and puppies and beagles and mice and all these rabbits and beautiful animals has shown that it's really not accurate. That's number one. So cruelty-free means testing on animals. Vegan means something is non-animal based. Now, a product can be vegan, but not be cruelty-free. A good example are vitamins. You see vegan multivitamins, vegan sulfur, vegan this, vegan that, vegan zinc. But yet it's tested on animals. Those vitamins are tested on animals. So you have to be educated and get as much education as possible, which is what's happened to me and my platform. That's how Vegan Design, I have Deborah Damari Design, and we have vegandesign.org. And all of it has really not only become about designing and decorating, and we have all these wonderful services, but we also educate our audience a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's your cruelty free, you have vegan, and then you have non-toxic. Non-toxic means there's no harsh chemicals. So that is what that all means. Now, how does that transition into your home? Mm-hmm. I always like to start with a bedroom because I think that's an easy place to start. The goal for your optimal health and for anyone with any sort of neurological or developmental challenge would be to create an environment that is as clean as possible. Because whatever we feel, as we know, anyone on the spectrum or anyone with any sort of sensory challenge, it's sort of exacerbated, correct?
Yes.
A tag on a shirt can bother you and I. For someone on the spectrum, it can be painful.
Right.
So obviously smells, odors, chemicals are things we must be very careful of. So I always like to use a bedroom as an example because it's one of the most important rooms in your home. Mm-hmm. We spend about a third of our life there. During the night is when our body repairs itself. Blood is cleansing. We're breathing very slowly. So we're breathing in our environment and exhaling. Our body heats up. Again, our skin is porous like a sponge. So our hot body is absorbing even more that's around us. So it's an area that we want to focus on. If we say we want to choose one area to start without getting overwhelmed, you have to just do little bits and pieces. So if you think about your mattress, if you think about your pillows, your blanket, your sheets, the paint on your walls, those are things that you want to start to take into consideration. So a home that has, that is clean and healthy and wonderful for the body and the mind would be one that has as few chemicals as possible, meaning there's nothing animal-based and you're focusing on less chemicals.
Yeah. So of course my mind is like churning, right? Thinking about my home because, you know, I'm really thinking about exactly how toxic is my house now, right? And so how toxic is our home in general? I mean, if we're not aware and, you know, you just redecorate it and you're buying whatever you're buying, like what are we dealing with really?
The cheaper you go, the more toxic typically it is. And the average home nowadays in the U.S., has more chemicals than the dirtiest streets in New York City. Homes that were built after the 70s are extremely toxic because they're built cheap and fast. Cheap and fast is really dangerous. Lots of petrochemicals, lots of VOCs, volatile organic compounds, lots of off-gassing. Paints. I always use paint as an example.
Yeah.
Don't buy cheap paint. Invest in good paint. Because those VOCs can linger for years. They don't even know how many years. Every year they come up with a new number, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So even though the smell is gone, when I was a kid growing up, when we painted a room, we couldn't go in the room for a day or two because of the smell. Well, now I know those they were still off-gassing going on for years. Just my nose couldn't smell it. So our homes, most of us, our homes are really, really, really toxic and really dangerous. Everything, the rugs, if they're, you know, rugs, if they're fire retardant, flame retardant, most of them contain formaldehyde. Wrinkle-free sheets contain formaldehyde. That's why they're wrinkle-free. So you're wrapping yourself in formaldehyde every night. Leather beanbag, leather sofa, wool, down. Again, loaded with pesticides. Our homes are very, very, very toxic, extremely toxic.
Yeah, I'm taking this all in, and I'm sure our listeners are too. And so when we're on the topic of autism, and so many people ask me, you know, so what do you think it is, Bridget? Do you think that's there's just more awareness or do you think, I mean, what are the reasons that our autism diagnoses are up the way that they are? I think the last time I checked, it was 1 in 36. It could be more now.
I think it's more.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of girls don't get diagnosed.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. They get, yes. And if so, it's much later, if at all. Mm-hmm. But what, you know, so thinking about all that. So, and I know Joseph is grown now and I would like to like go check out where he's living and his apartment and all that. Cause I'm pretty sure it's pretty toxic. But what are the top three things we can do? Like if, cause it is overwhelming, you said the bedroom, obviously, but what are three things that we can do to help get our homes less toxic?
I think paint is number one because that's yeah. manageable, right? That's not like, okay, you have to move.
Yeah.
The next time you have to paint, consider getting a paint that has low VOCs. Benjamin Moore now even makes EcoSpec paint. I use it a lot. I use it here in my own home. Okay. Then there's very expensive brands like Farrah and Ball. You don't need to go there. I mean, they're great. They're beautiful, but Benjamin Moore is also terrific. Mm-hmm. So that's the first place I would start. I would start with the paint. And then let's say you're looking for new furniture eventually. Don't get a real leather sofa. Don't do it.
I have one. And I'm like, yikes.
Don't do it. Go for something that is, if possible, even a polyester, which is still toxic, but much less toxic than a leather sofa. The only thing that's going to be completely non-toxic are our organic cottons, organic linens, organic hemp, organic sisals, rubber, kapok, buckwheat. But those things sometimes are just not manageable for us in our average life, in our average day-to-day living, because they're more delicate. So it's a trade-off. You know, for your son, a 31-year-old guy, getting an organic cotton couch would be, it makes me laugh and makes me cry at the same time, because you know that thing is going to last a second and a half.
Yeah.
So I would say to get something that's a performance fabric. Performance fabrics like Sunbrella, which is what they use for outdoor cushions. Sunbrellas have a brand called, I'm sorry, Sunbrella has a label that is called Okeotex. The Okeotex, O-K-E-O-T-E-X. It's a certification, and it has less chemicals, fabrics that have certification have less chemicals than the average material. Now, there's a certification called GOTS certification, G-O-T-S, stands for Global Organic Textile Standard. That is the granddaddy of all certifications, because it's really very free from chemicals, and it's also fair trade, meaning they treat the workers in those countries fairly. Because many of these things that come into the States have horrific background, as I mentioned, not only for the animals, but also for the humans. So you want to look for things that have a GOTS certification, which is a little harder to get, you know, locally. But getting like a Sunbrella fabric sofa has less chemicals than the average sofa. Do not use down fill, down at all filler. I would use alternative options. Again, down is horrific, horrific industry for these poor geese and for the workers. There's absolutely no regulations for them at all. Many of them get very, very sick. So I would do that. The other thing I would consider, so we have leather, we have paint, would be your mattress. If you're going to get a new mattress, or let's say you can't afford a new mattress, get a topper. Get an organic GOTS certified topper. One of my favorite brands is Naturepedic.
Okay.
Not getting paid to say it. I just love them. They're great. I have them in my own home. So you can get a Naturepedic topper. So if your mattress is toxic, at least you have the topper preventing, it's creating some distance.
Yeah, that's great. Or if you just got a new mattress like I did.
Right.
That would be a great suggestion. Yeah.
Don't get foam mattresses. Even the CertiPure certified foam, it's bogus. Foam has a lot of off-gassing. So even the ones that are certified means nothing. Just like responsible wool. You have all these Pottery Barn and this and that saying responsible wool. No such thing as responsible wool. It was created by great marketers because Patagonia, which is one of the leading exporters of wool, got busted for showing torturous acts on their sheep. And so they had to come up with something really fast. So that's what they came up with, responsible wool, and people believe it. You know, if you really think about it, there is no way to humanely use an animal for a quick profit. It's just impossible. Same thing with the workers. You know, again, they have very, very hard lives. They get very sick, cancer, drug addiction. It's very hard. When you see the animal handler sheet, we were able to get one, what they have to sign off on. It's incredible what these poor people have to sign off on. So, and I'm a believer also in energy.
Yeah.
And I believe that I try to bring things into my home and my client's home that come from a good place. And knowing if it came from a really bad, awful, sad place, I feel like I'm bringing that into a space, whether that sounds kind of ooh, but that's what I feel.
Yeah.
So really, yeah. So, you know, do your homework with things. We have an Amazon shop where we try to find things that are at least cruelty-free and vegan. So that's a nice place to start. You know, we have a lot of information on our site.
Okay.
On yeah, all our sites. And we have a pretty active Facebook group. But I think those are good places to start. So you just bought a mattress, get a topper.
Yeah.
Let's say you're renting an apartment. People ask this a lot and they want to repaint the apartment or room. Do you scrape off the paint? And I say, no, don't do that, because then you're exciting all the toxins again and all the gas. So you want to get a non-toxic primer. They have them that have, so that's like almost a sealer on the wall, and then you paint with the non-toxic paint.
Yeah, I was just thinking, my goodness, there's no telling how many years I've been exposed, right? Like everybody else.
Like everyone else.
Thinking you're doing the right thing and not really being educated.
Hey, when I was pregnant with my twins, I drank Diet Coke the whole time.
Back in the day, yeah.
You know, I thought, hey, no big deal. So.
Yeah. I am a recovering Diet Coke.
Yes, I think, I don't know. At my age, this was like everyone drank Diet Coke.
Yeah, absolutely. I sure did. And I enjoyed every drop.
Because it's addicting. God knows what's in there that is so addicting.
I know. It's so true. How far I've come, but yet I think too, listening to you, how far I have to go.
We all do. We all do.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm far from perfect. I just say just by listening to your podcast, you're doing better than most. So that's what I tell people. You're doing better than most.
Yeah. But certainly trying for sure.
Yeah.
But I also want to get into design for autism and what prompted you to start that?
One of my daughters is in the spectrum, and she really taught me about designing for autism, because I got it straight from the source. And it was really interesting, because things that I would see that would make her feel good and feel secure and comforted. You know, I really, because I've been designing for autism for so many years, along with my regular design, everything that I would design for someone in the spectrum of autism, anyone with any kind of sensory sensitivity, I would do for a neurotypical. But it's just more exacerbated. So I would never put fluorescent lighting in your home, for example. Of course, I would never do it for someone in the spectrum.
Right.
I would choose specific colors if I want a calming environment, if I want a stimulating environment. So it's really the same things I would do. I'm just much more focused on it. Mm-hmm. So to tips on designing for autism, it's very individual, because as they say, once you've met someone with autism, you've met someone with autism. So I say everyone has a different recipe.
Yeah.
So if I'm designing for someone who needs more stimulation, we design differently than for someone who needs less stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know your child more than anyone else. More than anyone else. Yeah. So you know what they need. But certain things, I think, are important, such as anchoring is very important, because the anxiety, the dyspraxia, the following tasks. So I think creating an environment that they feel anchored in. I would never use a high bed for someone in the spectrum. I would use a lower platform bed, anchoring.
Yeah.
I would make sure that the lighting is not harsh at all. I would make sure I never had a recessed light coming down on that back of the bed, which we do sometimes for design. I don't personally love it, but you never want that light.
Mm-hmm.
I would do softer lighting, dimmers everywhere. So designing for autism, so I would make sure that the bed is low and anchored. I would make sure there is no direct harsh lighting overhead. I would make sure there's dimmers everywhere, which I use all the time. I have dimmers everywhere. I have dimmers in closets, in bathrooms, you name it, I have dimmers. Because I think also that's great for someone with autism, because maybe they need a light at night, but a night light isn't sufficient for them. Mm-hmm. So they need to have another light. So you put the light on the closet very low. Bedding, typically, most people in the spectrum of autism like a heavier feeling on their body. It's calming. It's pressing on the nerve endings. It's sort of like a massage when you use heavy bedding. Anywhere I go with my daughter, if we're going to a hotel, I will bring a heavy comforter, or I will call the hotel to make sure they have a heavy comforter, because she cannot sleep without that weight. As I can't also. I'm the same, but I know that's because of her, but I don't need to bring mine. I would do okay, but she can't. So that's the difference.
Okay.
So typically we use a heavier bedding weight while they're sleeping. Chairs, desk chairs, never have the feet dangling. You always want those feet firmly planted on the ground. It helps the body concentrate. If you're not dangling, they're not going back and forth. They're not seeking sensory awareness. They're anchored. Bottom of the feet have tons of nerve endings pressing. If the seat's too high, then just get one of those cheap little wedges. Make sure they have their foot against it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want anything flailing.
Mm-hmm.
However, rocking chairs are beautiful. The swaying motion.
Yes.
Right? Very common. Nothing too bright.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too noisy. No whirring of the fans to stim off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lava lamps are great. Little old Amazon lava lamps. They're beautiful. Calming.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on and on, but those are just a few things that come out that I'm thinking of right away.
Yeah, no, those are all really good because, you know, as a parent of a child, I mean, all ages really, because it is a journey. There's so many things to think about, and how can we make our life more simple and calmer? And I think those things are, everything you suggested is very simple.
Yes.
And also calming. So,
yes.
You know, meet yourself where you're at, depending on if you're listening to this, what are some of those simple things that you can do to make your world, your world, but also more importantly, your child's world calmer. So loving stories, I am very curious to hear, and I think this also offers hope and incentive to make these small changes in our homes and some big changes. But what are examples of the positive impact that your home design has had on some of your clients, your special needs kids?
I think that the positive impacts there have been many, and I think a feeling of, like, it's relieved anxiety, I think, for many of the families, just from some simple things that we've done. I think it's created a sense of independence for the children and young adults with autism by mm-hmm. the simple things that we've done. Light switches that they can control, simple things for children even. And I think it's created a bit of an understanding for many clients. You know, there's something that I always think of, and that's if I go into 10 homes, when I'm meeting with new clients, and I ask them if there's anyone in the family that has any sort of sensory difficulty, 10 of them will answer yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating.
No, I believe. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'm thinking right now how many are in my family.
Yeah.
That aren't on the spectrum.
And I think that I don't know whether autism has always been as prevalent. I believe it probably has, but I think there's much more awareness now and it doesn't have the stigma it did years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the population has grown. And I think there's always been chemicals around. I mean, I think about when I was a kid, you know, but now maybe our food has more chemicals. I'm not knowledgeable enough about that, but I think we're just much more aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we've made some really nice changes for families, just giving them some tips and advice and just giving them some ideas, even if they don't have the budget, just moving things around,
mm-hmm.
you know, making things have less clutter. That's a big thing. You can't have clutter for anyone who has any sort of developmental challenge. It creates, I mean, even for any client that I always get rid of clutter, you know, I say a cluttered space, a cluttered mind. So for someone who's sensitive to that, that's the last thing you would want.
Mm-hmm.
Everything must be in order.
Yeah, it really helps set structure and knowing where things are. And,
yes.
Absolutely. I can see that. And I know from one mom to another with a child on the spectrum and all your experience, what advice would you like to share for anyone who's listening?
About having a child on the spectrum?
Yeah, just any parenting advice, any tips, anything from your wisdom drawer, if you will.
Get rid of negativity. Anyone who's not embracing your family, get rid of them. You don't need them. Focus on the positive. Surround yourself with like-minded people. You will learn so much from them. Embrace education and delve right in. Get in the muck.
Yeah.
Get in the muck because you will learn. I learned something from you. You learned something from me. I pass it on to someone. And we are a community and we must help one another. Get rid of people that don't get it. Get rid of them. I know that sounds harsh, but you don't have time for it. You have to focus on your life and your family. And everyone's got stuff in their family. This is what you have. And I always say, my daughter has taught me so much. I was born and raised in New York, so I have about as much patience as like, I don't have patience. She has taught me patience. Mm. She has taught me to be a better person because, as you know, there is not a bad bone in those bodies of anyone on the street. They don't even know how to think poorly or insult or think badly about people. And if they don't like someone, I always say they're like dogs. We always kid that about my daughter. They sense it, you know? And I don't know if that sounds terrible coming out. I don't mean that to sound terrible. I mean as a compliment.
Yes.
That they just know when I would see my daughter's body, little body stiffen up against someone, I'd be like, we better watch out for that person. She just had this innate sense.
Yes.
Because I think they don't see the fluff. They don't care about the fluff.
Right.
They see the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, social selves are not consumed with, you know, they're more of them, their essential selves than they are their social.
Yeah. So my advice would be learn from others, meet other parents, meet other families, get involved and you will learn so much. I have learned so much just because when you discover this news, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. And you're just feel very alone.
Yes.
And it's scary and it's hard and you're dealing with lots of emotions.
Yes.
And just having others who have been through it to guide you and help you. Because anyone who has any child with any sort of disability, I find is so open and embracing. So, and just don't listen to the people that are jerks. You don't have time for them.
You know? Yeah. That's why I love coaching moms who have kids on the spectrum because I have been there where one comment would just like break my heart, you know, because I like everything. You're just so, so vulnerable.
Yes.
When you get that diagnosis and you're just doing okay. And then one negative comment and it takes you way, way, way back. That is great, great, great advice. I know that our listeners are probably looking around their houses or thinking about, oh my God, I've got some work to do here. So where can people find out more about your work and connect with you?
Well, a couple of things. I guess you could write this down that, you know, I guess you'll put it in the chat.
I will.
They can go to Demare Design. They could go to DeborahDemare.com. They could go to vegandesign.org. We have a great YouTube channel. We do virtual consults also. We do hourly. So like if someone's just doing their bedroom and they don't have the budget, you can do an hour. We'll just kind of give you advice and tell you what to do. To me, it's so important that we work with all types of budgets. Like that's because my business started with that. I had decorated my daughter's rooms and I found these headboards in a consignment shop and I decorated them with butterflies from Michaels. And that's literally how my business started because someone came over and was like, where'd you get those headboards? Because they look like they were antiques. And so I am still to this day, so mindful of budgets, you know? So it doesn't have to be the mansions that we show on our websites and Instagram, because we do those too, you know? But I really like to use the skills and the knowledge that I've learned to help people just, you know, who are on budgets. We also have a course that I think your listeners would really be interested in, and that's the kids course. It's a non-toxic, it's a 2-hour course that I created. It's my best course ever, really. I love it because I have great experts on it. And it's about how to design a nursery and kids room that's sensory, that's non-toxic, that's psychologically sound. I cover everything on how to decorate and make a room great. But mattresses, bedding, paints, rugs. I have a sleep expert. It's everything. And we're giving your listeners a discount code. Wait, hold on. It is discount code Mother's Guide 35 is the coupon for the kids course. So it's 35% off the course. It's not expensive. Wow. And it's such a great course, really. I'm my best, like my best audience. But no, I love the course so much because I made sure that it was fast and that you can do it at your own pace and that it's for the average person. It's not for a designer. Designers take it, but it's for, and it also quite honestly, it relates to all spaces. It's not just kids and nurseries. It's all about designing. And I love that course. So I think that your listeners are really, and it's a great gift. It's just great. You know, we've gotten such good feedback about it. It took me over a year to put together because we had like Lisa Bronner from Dr. Bronner Soap. She talks about cleaners. We have Barry Chick, the founder of Naturepedic. We have really like amazing people. We have one of the most renowned textile experts. Everything she does is non-toxic. She gets on and talks about fabrics, what to look for and furniture. I mean, it's a terrific course.
That sounds does sound like that's something for anybody, really.
Yes.
But yeah, so tell me again, Mother's Guide, what was
Mother's
that?
Mother's Guide 35.
Mother's Guide 35, everyone.
Right.
It's 35% off, and we will put this, in our notes as we release this episode. We'll make sure that everyone has access to that. We've gotten some really great tips today. Thank you so much for that. And I have learned so much.
Good.
And
I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah. And boy, I'm going to get busy.
Right. What are you doing sitting there? You got to get going right now. Oh, you know what else? Who else we have on the course that I think your listeners would be really in? We have a great occupational therapist, and she works with people with autism. So she does a whole segment on how to decorate spaces for people with autism.
Oh, yeah. That's worth it right there, right? Mm-hmm.
She's amazing. Nancy Amar, she's incredible. She is amazing.
That's worth it right there. Because if we can, so many of the moms that I coach that, you know, their kids come home and they're on overload over, yes. You know, they're overstimulated. And our kids work so hard with ABA and all the things, you know. So it's great to have a space for our children that is calming and relaxing and also makes our hearts feel better because we know our kids are healthier and better off all of it. So
that's right.
What a great episode. And I want to thank you personally.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, no, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And best of luck to you. And we'll be in touch.
Oh, absolutely.
All righty. You take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you all enjoyed this episode of Mother's Guide Through Autism, please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel and also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and let us know. Let us know what you would like to learn about or what support that you need. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and share it on social media. You can download my free guide, 5 Things I Wish I Knew Raising My Son with Autism, by going to my website, mothersguidethroughautism.com. Also, please join our Facebook group, Mother's Guide Through Autism, for support. I'm sending you all hope and love. Thanks so much for listening.